Blog Talk Radio.
From the deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, the SRI Label Group, Wildlife Educational Services, and Blog Talk Radio present Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover with us the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we discover his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the frigid jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson. Welcome to Wild World on this magical network we call Blog Talk Radio as we take up your time every week with some great guests. We got a fine one today. I hope if he calls in. He hasn't called in yet, Dr. Tyson.
Well, let's just say he better call in.
Yeah, say that. And of course, from the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana, now HD, and with a beautiful, as we've always told you, beautiful knotty pine paneling, Dr. Henry Day with our Wild World News that he presents every week. Hi, Doc.
Good afternoon, Mr. Batson. Pretty cold out there on the Wildlife Preserve, huh?
I think we're looking at close to 30 degrees now. This morning it was quite noticeable. It was, I think, 17. So.
Yeah, that's what we had here, 17 degrees.
Well, I do know, though, that where our guest Gene Romo lives is Hickory, North Carolina, and they got buried in snow, which is quite unusual.
Yeah, the East Coast has had it pretty bad already this year.
Yeah, it's been tough. So, good. Glad that they live there. That's all I can say. Are you ready, Doc?
As always.
All right, here we go.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Why, good afternoon, everybody. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Gene Romo's here, Dr. Day.
Yes, Gene Romo. Gene Romo is late because he was digging himself out of a blizzard, and I lost track of time.
I figure. Go ahead, Dr. Day.
All right, we're starting the Wild World News. Now, an around-the-clock watch of Anana, the polar bear, continues in Cincinnati, Ohio. Yes, everybody's wondering, will she or won't she give birth to cubs? Well, no one can answer that. Now, on Wednesday, the zoo posted a video to Twitter of the polar bear and her den. Now, she's been under 24/7 observation for more than a month now. There's currently no pregnancy test for polar bears. So everybody is anxious to see.
Who's going to get, I mean, you know,
yes,
Dr.
Who wants that job?
Here, Mr. Bear, pee on this piece of paper, or Mrs. Bear.
Yeah.
It ain't going to happen.
That is a job that nobody wants.
No.
All right. Well, this sounds like fun. Atlanta, Georgia. Researchers are wading into the North Georgia streams to search for giant salamanders known as hellbenders.
Well, Dr. Day, they've discovered a new salamander. Did you know that?
No, I hadn't heard yet.
Oh, yeah. Alabama, Florida, Georgia. It's been discovered. It's an eel-like. Well, it looks like a tiger salamander head, but it has huge air modules, fins on the side. And they're about 2 feet long, and they've just discovered those here within the last few weeks. So that's very exciting news. Down in that part of the country.
That is exciting. How could they have stayed hidden for so long?
Oh, I know. Well, there have been reports of them, but they've never been able to collect a specimen until this recent trip. So they've got the specimen. And it's about the same length as a hellbender. It just doesn't have the huge body that the hellbender has.
Yeah, quite impressive creatures.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a follow-up to a story we did a couple of weeks ago. Charlotte, North Carolina. An animal rescue group, says that a donkey and an emu who've bonded can stay together. Now, as we reported, one of the animals was sold and they were going to be separated. But thanks to actor Jeffrey Dean Morgan, I'm not familiar with Jeffrey, but he plays the villainous Negan on the TV zombie thriller The Walking Dead.
Oh.
So a special thanks goes out to Jeffrey for helping keep these animals together.
Well,
this odd couple.
Dr. Day.
All right, now, I don't know if this is good news or bad news. I've been trying to figure this out. New Orleans, Louisiana. Prices for alligator skins are down to less than half of what they were just 5 years ago, making for a slow, wild harvest. Now, is this good or bad? Now that the prices for the skins are down, there'll probably be more people buying them because they can afford them now. I don't.
Well,
how does that? Is that good news or bad news?
Well, it's good news for the people who wish to purchase such a thing. Bad news for the guys that harvest the alligators. So, I have no sympathy for them. But you know what the heck? We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. We'll see. All right, we've got a very rare sighting in Portland, Maine. A hawk native to Central and South America drew a lot of attention from Maine's birding community last week after appearing in a city park there, where it brawled with another fellow raptor and dined on a squirrel. Yeah, they were pretty excited about this. Now, the great black hawk may be the first record of its species in the United States, the Audubon Society says.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah, from Central South America to Portland, Maine.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yes, it is. All right, now please don't do this. All right, Bristol, New Hampshire. A turtle given to a bedridden little boy back in 1968 has celebrated her 50th birthday. Yes. The turtle is 50 years old. Now, they celebrated with party hats, a sheet cake, and many well-wishers. Now, Diane is the name of the turtle, and Diane wore a tiny party hat to the 50th birthday party.
Picture,
now, the
video.
Reason why we say, oh, yes, there is. Now, the reason why we say please don't do this is a lot of the turtles carry salmonella.
Oh.
And if you're bedridden and if you're sick already, it probably would not be a good idea. Although giving the little boy did bring him out of his shell.
Oh yeah, that's a good one, Dr. Day. Yeah.
Yeah, I was waiting for that one.
There's right, absolutely.
What's that?
There's absolutely no taste at all.
No reason for that at all. I agree. All right, slow down and pay attention in Reno, Nevada. Now listen to this. Drivers have hit and killed 33 bears on Nevada roads so far this year, making it the second deadliest year for the bears on record.
Wow.
Yeah. That's brutal. Slow down and pay attention.
Yeah.
All right, they're not counting crows in Portland, Maine. They're counting loons. One of the state's most beloved birds is continuing a steady rebuild of its population. The Maine Audubon says the results of its 2018 loon count yielded the second highest estimate of adult loon recorded since the count began in 1984. Yeah, so Portland's getting pretty loony.
Yeah, there you go.
No, that wasn't even worth it. All right. Off to Great Bend, Kansas. Now listen to this. Police have responded to reports that a man had been bitten by a venomous snake. Well, they found the snake decapitated and hallucinogenic mushrooms at his home. So he wasn't sure if he was bitten by the snake or not, but either way, he cut its head off.
Great story.
Yeah, I just report them. I have nothing to do with that. No UFO in Midland, Arkansas. No UFO. Officials say a fire that caused a mysterious burning hole in September wasn't intentionally set and was not the result of a meteorite, methane gas, or the work of the devil. All right, now here's some good news from Nazareth, Pennsylvania. Listen to this. CF Martin and Company says the car maker's original factory has been named a National Historical Landmark.
Oh, cool.
Yes, that good. Is pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, do you know what that leads us to?
What?
It's that time of the show where we play Who's Gotten Older. Gene, you have to participate.
I'm in. Can you hear me?
Mr. Batson hates this game. Absolutely hates it.
Yeah, I do.
Tell Gene he always loses.
Yeah, tell Gene the rules, Dr. Day.
Well, I give you a celebrity who's gotten older this past week, and you guess how old they are. And there is a prize at the end of the contest.
I hate this game. I hate it.
Oh, are you ready, Gene?
I am indeed.
All right, here we go. We're gonna start off with singer Little Richard.
Oh!
How old is Little Richard?
He's dead.
No.
No. Yeah, nobody's told him yet.
Little Richard, nobody told him that. I thought Little Richard was dead. Well, sorry, Little Richard. Good golly, Miss Molly.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Good. I'll say 89.
I'm gonna go with he's older than that, seeing as he's still alive. 93.
All right. Well, looks like Mr. Batson was a little closer on this when he turned 86 on Wednesday this past week.
Oh, he's a lot more.
Yes. And he is still alive. Our next singer is, how old is Ozzy Osbourne?
Oh, my. Oh, that's
Ozzy.
Right.
75.
I'll say, I think Gene's pretty close. I'll say 79.
All right. Well, I'm afraid we're going to have to give this one to Gene. He turned 70 on Monday.
Woohoo! Oh,
he's only 70.
We were just talking about him the other day, Larry and I.
Yeah. And look, I didn't cheat. I could have looked it up. I could do it every week. I could cheat. I could cheat every week and look all these up before Dr. Nate calls. Do I do that?
Well,
no.
No.
I didn't either. I do have my phone in my hand, obviously, but I can't do two things at the same time. So I'm talking, therefore I can't search Google.
Here's one. Tell me how old singer Tom Waits is.
Ah. Now, I know he's alive, but I did think not a short time ago that he was dead until I saw him in a movie, and so he's still kicking. He's a little younger. I'm going to go with 70.
Oh, I think that's a very good guess. I'll go over the top. I'll say 75.
Tom Waits turned 69.
Woo-hoo!
On Friday.
Larry, you gave that one to me, Larry.
We got 2-1 here. Gene has the lead. All right. You're going to have a hard time with this one, I think. singer Sinead O'Connor?
Oh.
Okay. She's younger than me, but not a whole lot. 52.
I'll say 59.
You'll say what?
59.
What's your answer? Whoa. Okay. Well, it's a tie ball game. Sinead O'Connor turned 52 yesterday.
I said 52. 62 or 52?
52.
Yeah, that's what Gene got. I heard that one.
52, okay. Yeah, can't get any closer than that. All right, our final contestant here. Tell me how old singer, one of Larry's favorites, Donny Osmond is.
Oh.
Donny is... Hey Larry, why don't you take the first guess? Because I've been grabbing all these first guesses.
I'll say it's not going to help, but I'll say 65.
I'm gonna say 64, because I think you're right, but 64.
Well, actually, today is Donnie's birthday. And he turned 61.
61. I should have got that. I should have got that. Today's my mother's birthday. So Donny Osmond and my mother. Of course, Donny Osmond takes a second place to my mother. I don't know that.
Now, that's right. And you know what I think we should do, Dr. Day, because it is Gene Romo's mother's birthday, is a special happy birthday wish from England and our good friend Dave Davies.
Dave, you on the line, Dave? Dave, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening. You know, I always listen to the show. I always don't get a chance to be on, but I always listen. So I've come to wish Jane's mother happy birthday. So, what's your mother's name, Gene?
My blessed mother's name is Alice. Alice. Go ask Alice.
We'd like to wish you a very happy birthday, and we'll try to get some pastries in the mail for you.
She's 80 today. And...
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks.
I'm going to have to say Gene won the round of Guess Who's Gotten Older.
Now, no.
Can you tell him what he's won?
Tell him what he's won.
Well, because you won this part of the show, you get to be on the show again.
Right.
That's your punishment.
It's what I always wanted.
All right. Well, let's get Gene on here in just a second. Let's do the fact of the day. In Montana, it is still illegal to have sheep in the cab of your truck without a chaperone. Yes, this is a true law in Montana. Also, this just came in. It seems that the dinosaurs disappeared from Earth due to reptile dysfunction. And that's the Wild World News for December 9th.
Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana. Reminding everyone that the SRI Label Group is our underwriter for Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. The SRI Label Group is for people that love all music, rock, jazz, blues, country, it's all there. Artists and their classic recordings, best of ELO, Little Richard Live, Chambers Brothers, Hall & Oates, a catalog of thousands of recordings available for download or just to listen to. For an amazing music collection, the best musical site the SRI Label Group. Check it out today. SRIRecords.com.
Well, I'm heard about
A little Stevie Ray Vaughan for our guest this week on Wild World, Gene Romo. Man, get his hair and a smile on his face. Gene Romo stopped by to tell us the latest escapade, which I know right now is snow removal. Hey, Gene. How much snow did you get?
It looks like about a foot and a half.
Oh!
Yeah. Ouch. But
oh, my.
I wanted to get it before it turned to ice. You know, get the vehicle.
Good idea. Yeah.
I didn't go crazy because I don't have Cheryl to shovel my driveway like you do.
She'll do that, I'm telling you.
I know. Yeah, I
right
remember.
Now, yeah, well, now she's moving one of our tigers from one enclosure into the other because we have some little project we have to do. Yeah. So, do they actually have snow removal equipment in North Carolina?
Well, not really. Well, you know how it is in the South. Now, being a New Jersey boy, you know, the roads would have been cleared already, but they don't like putting salt on the ground here because it ruins their cars. So they're not really good at it. And I wouldn't go on the road anyway because they can't drive in it. So that's fine with me. But the thing about North Carolina, I'm in western North Carolina. I'm in the foothills. I'm about an hour east of Asheville, about an hour northwest of Charlotte. So I'm like right in the middle there in the foothills. So we do get snow, but it'll get warm in a couple of days and it'll all be gone, which is great. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It should snow on the 25th and get hot on the 26th. Well,
I didn't hear you. I'm having a problem hearing you, Larry.
It should snow on the 25th and then melt on the 26th.
Yes. It'll be gone. It'll be gone in a couple of days. And I want to say that you did a great job picking that song because that is my all-time favorite Stevie Ray Vaughan song. Absolutely,
really?
My favorite. Yes. I'm not just saying that.
Yeah.
That was a dead hit.
Well, I know. You've got good taste. Gene, I was kind of like yesterday. When did the first time we have a chance to meet? Was that up in New York?
Yes. That was Chautauqua. That was the first time we physically met. We were sitting next to each other. Our tables were adjacent. And I was helping Bob out at the time because you and Bob are both speaking, and Bob Dimmer, that is. And,
right.
And he was, that was the first time I met you, Steve Culls, if I remember correctly, and yourself and Bob Gimlin. Who else spoke at that convention?
Melissa Hubby was there.
Melissa Hubby, right?
And I don't know, did Billy Willard speak too?
You know, I'm not sure if he did, but I'm thinking that he did. I think you're right, Billy Willard, who has since exited the Bigfoot community, but I'm still in touch with him from time to time. Great guy, Billy. But I think he needed to get out. He had other things he needed to.
Yeah.
Needed to take care of. Yeah, what a great guy. So yeah, that was the first time I met you, and that was the first time that. Do you know Eric Fargigio? He goes by the handle of Eerie Eric. He's an illustrator, out of Erie, Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
and a lot of people in the Bigfoot community know him. Nice guy. Him and his wife. Carrie are fantastic people and good friends of mine. And that was the first time I met him, and I spread the word about him.
But, you know, not that he needed me to do that. And
right.
He's done really well for himself, which I'm really happy to see.
Well, I'd forgotten that, because I don't know if we officially I introduced myself to him or not. That was the kind of a crazy. Explain to the audience, because you go to more of them than I do. Yeah, you've gone all over the country to these Bigfoot conferences. Exactly what happened at a Bigfoot conference.
What? Repeat the question again. Just a second. What happens at a Bigfoot conference? Is that what you asked?
Yeah, tell me what it's all about.
Well, you know, I initially started going to the conferences for information and to share with other people that were interested in the subject. And but what I found is that it is really more of it's more about camaraderie and well, so many of these people have become very good friends of mine over the years, and you know, you get to see them again. It's like going to a reunion every year, and if you're lucky enough to get them. Now, there's a lot that I'd like to have gone to, but I try to go to as many as I can. But you know, it can be expensive. You know, like you say, I've traveled coast to coast and have gone to a lot of these. I've been lucky enough to have met people and befriended people. I've been invited to some exclusive conferences, which are really nice. But I have to say that meeting new people at some of the larger conferences is what I find most fun. And of course, hearing their stories and if they've had a sighting, you know, because really that's one of the things that that I enjoy most is hearing their people's accounts.
But
of course, if you really are interested meeting some of the researchers and some of the people that are more famous, for lack of a better word, you know, you get to meet those folks as well. But there's a lot of information, and you won't be bored. You know, it's amazing that you can sit for 2 days and listen to lectures and not fall asleep. I'm sure some people do. I fall asleep at yours, Larry. I have to confess.
I know.
But you know that's not true. That's not true at all. You're my favorite, Larry.
Oh, now.
If anybody,
I saw Larry.
Go ahead.
I was with Larry when he did a show for a room full of Cub Scouts, and afterwards the den master said, "The boys have never been that quiet in their entire life."
Right? Yeah. I turn into a Cub Scout myself when I'm listening to Larry. You know, I get starry-eyed and my jaw goes slack. Yeah. I start to drool.
Excuse me. I have a little vomit in my mouth. Hold on.
Well, you better take care of that, Larry. You got a show to do.
Well, I feel the same way. I have a blast at it. I've never asked you. Have you ever actually had a sighting, Gene?
No. I can't say that I have. I've come very close many times.
Mm-hmm.
I've been out for extended periods of time. On the West Coast and on the East Coast, not very much in the Midwest other than Ohio. I've come very close, and I've heard things, I've seen things, I've experienced things. I've, you know, discovered tracks and cast tracks, a lot of circumstantial evidence, but physically seeing something, no. I've had glimpses, but
they were so quick, and I was so hyped up at the time that I wouldn't even consider it to be a real sighting. So, now I live in Western North Carolina. Not 2 hours from here is when I had what I think to be my closest call, and what was probably my most interesting and scary weekend. And it was a long weekend with a bunch of fellows, and they were nice enough to invite me. And it was kind of a last minute invitation, and it turned into a pretty hairy weekend where a few people in the group, not going to say a few people, a couple of people in the group had most definite sightings, according to them. And there was some evidence that actually did take place. But I'm convinced that something, and not just one, but a group, more than one at least, was watching us and really being almost hostile, just this side of hostile. There were some projectiles and a lot of nighttime activity. And, you know, what most of us know have heard before, you know, the when it gets dark and the moon's up, and the activity would start, and then just before dawn, things would get quiet again. And but I have to say that we were about an hour and a half north of Atlanta in the Chattahoochee National Forest, where the Expedition Bigfoot is now. There's a museum there. And that is probably about a half hour from, I think that's in Blue Ridge, Georgia. That was about a half hour from where this happened. And I think this was like 2011. I was so frightened. And I've been out in the woods by myself. I used to camp a lot by myself. And I've been some pretty hairy places that were sketchy. But this, and again, I was with, I think there was just short of 20 people all together.
Wow.
In this rather large group, and everybody but me and maybe one or two other people were armed, heavily armed. And I was never so scared in my life. I couldn't wait until we got in the cars and got out of there. And which is unusual for me. And not that I'm not afraid. I'm a big scaredy cat. But I had never been that frightened in the woods. I have never been that frightened in the woods.
Was it just because of the noise that were made, or what?
Well, yeah. Well, it was nonstop.
No.
There was a lot of it. We had to keep a rather large fire, and it was that simple. When the fire would go down, we were there Thursday through Monday, and three of those days, from Friday night through Sunday, we had serious activity all night long, to the point where not everybody could sleep at the same time. And we wanted to stay awake so that, you know, if anything happened, you know, somebody would be able to record it or at least notice it. And but all that time, you had to keep the fire high. And the minute that the fire would go down to what would be considered a normal campfire, it would really get noisy. And again, things thrown into the campground. I felt and heard what I thought were rather large footfalls when I was trying to sleep. And I was on I sleep on a cot because I have some pretty severe back issues. So I don't sleep on the ground generally. So I've got I've got a pretty elaborate setup, and I could feel these footfalls. And I was pretty convinced, given the fact that I kind of knew where everybody was and the position I was in, and my cot was right up against a rather steep and rugged ledge that just fell right off into a small canyon. So for something to be running around out there at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and it was dark, would have been pretty crazy. But again, this is all, you know, circumstantial stuff, but I've seen a lot and I've heard a lot. But this was really convincing stuff, and I'm other than actually seeing something physical, that was as close as I'd gotten. Yeah. Right.
And you say there's a group in there right now. People that are they're going in there right now, did you say?
Oh no. I don't know. I've wanted to this was in 2011.
Yeah.
And I kind of the gentleman that invited me, by the way, the gentleman that invited me had a close-up sighting within 30 feet, and I know that because we measured it. And, I mean, he was really frightened. And he wanted to get out of there in the worst way, but he wasn't, you know, he didn't have the keys, or he would have been gone. And, yeah. And he had gotten out of it completely. He spent a little bit of time. I'm not going to mention his name. He did have a podcast and a small radio show for a short time, only because I don't know that he necessarily likes to talk about it all that much. So I'm going to do that and not mention his name. And a lot of people are probably familiar with him just based on what I've said so far. Because he did share the experience with quite a few people. I think he shared it online. But again, that's not my place. But him and I are still communicate here and there, but we didn't know each other really well, and we kind of fell away. I do have some contact with the people that now this was private land. It was gated and posted. There was a lot of history in this area. Obviously, Expedition Bigfoot is there for a reason. There's a lot of activity in that part of northwestern Georgia. And the same goes for North Carolina. My dad lived here for 20 years. I've only been here for 3. I'm from New Jersey, if for those of the folks that out there that don't know, from the southern part of the state. Spent a lot of time in the Jersey Pines. Or if you're familiar with the Jersey Pines, home of the legendary Jersey Devil.
Right.
The funny thing. My mayor, the mayor of my town, was Harry Leeds. And Harry Leeds is a descendant of what is supposed to be the family of the Jersey Devil. Mother Leeds had, you know, 12 children in Leeds, New Jersey, which is the next town over from the town that that I spent the last 10 years raising my children in New Jersey. And he was my mayor and my neighbor. And he was a funny guy. Yeah, he was a funny guy. Matter of fact, I think he was on Monster Quest. Yeah, I'm sure he was. He was on Monster Quest. You remember the Monster Quest show back in the late 2000s?
Oh, yeah.
2008, 2009, the Monster Quest. They had a Jersey Devil episode, and he was on that. Harry Leeds, interesting guy.
Yeah, I had Monster Quest at my house for a day one time, and I did not say the right things. They didn't like me when they left.
Did it air? Because I don't remember that, Larry.
No, and not one bit of footage aired. And I'd made an agreement on compensation, and they had to give me my compensation. And they didn't use one bit of tape on it. Because I pretty much I pretty much spent the day making fun of them, which I guess is not fair. Our I was going to say, our guest is Gene Rummel. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to what an amazing show, Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
SRI Jazz is proud to present their newest release, This is Ray Brown Jr. That's right, Ella Fitzgerald's son continues to entertain audiences with his warm and charming vocals, making this one of the best vocal jazz albums of the year. Here are some sample tracks from the album. Visit our website to hear all of them in their entirety. Just go to srirecords.com or click on the banner in your media player now.
It's wonderful, marvelous, you should care for me. Awful nights, paradise, what I love to see. My baby, when she walks by, all the bells go, I know why. Simply 'cause that girl's so fine. If she'd ever leave me, I'd lose my mind. She's got the kind of loving, kissing and a hugging. Sure, he's mellow. Glad that I'm a feather, and I know, 'cause she knocked me off my feet. Have mercy on me. I know for certain, one I love. I'm through with flirting. It's you that I'm thinking of. Ain't misbehaving, saving my love. Oh, you must take the A train to go to Sugar Hill, way up in all.
You've been listening to a few sample tracks from the new album, This is Ray Brown Jr. You can hear all the songs in their entirety at srirecords.com. Support jazz music today at srirecords.com. Consideration provided by SRI Jazz.
Hi, everyone. This is Shelley Newports. You're listening to my friend Larry Batson's Wild, Wild World on Wild Talk Radio.
Hello, America. Hello, around the world. This is Larry Batson, along with our co-host, as always, Dr. Henry Day from Indianapolis, Indiana, and our guest from Hickory, North Carolina, the birthplace of Andy and Mayberry, Gene Romo.
Is that right?
I think Mayberry was fashioned after Hickory. I think that's how it works.
There's a couple of towns in this western, northwestern part of North Carolina that lay claim, but there's one, I think it's Marion, North Carolina, which is due north on 77 on the way to Ohio, that claims to be, they've got Floyd's Barbershop.
Oh, really?
That was a great, yeah.
Yeah.
Floyd was my favorite character. Did you like Floyd? Do you remember Floyd?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Andy.
Yeah,
Andy.
My favorite was Ernest T. Bass.
Ernest T. Bass.
Yeah. He was the rock thrower. Always carried a bag of rocks.
Well, I don't remember him. How do I not remember Ernest T. Bass? The name sounds familiar, but I don't remember Ernest T. Bass.
Can you do a little Ernest T. Bass?
I love you.
Who was the? What was the drunk's name? The guy that was always in the cell.
That was Otis.
They only had one cell.
Otis Campbell.
That's right, Otis.
what a great show! Oh my gosh!
Right. So and Thelma Lou. Thelma Lou lived in. I forget where they lived. They lived in a town
that actually exists.
Mount Pilot.
Mount Pilot, right. Mount Pilot, right. Yeah, that's not that far. Thelma Lou lived in Mount Pilot, right. The boys used to go over there, and God knows what they did. Went out for pop or something. I don't know.
I think Thelma Lou was a skank. I think she.
Well, we know you're picky. You're picky, Larry.
Oh yeah, I should be. Gosh. Yeah. But anyway,
well, I'll tell you why. Hey, speaking of North Carolina, there's a lot of activity here in North Carolina. And especially lately, there seems to be. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of reasons for that. We could all speculate. You know, Bigfoot's hot right now, super hot. I'm sure that has a lot to do with it. But you can make a few arguments on either side, you know, that it was there all along. Now there's more people out there. Or there's more people out there, and that's why it's there. So you can go either way on that, but activity is an all-time high, not far from here.
Well, you can ask Billy Willard. I am great fun on a Bigfoot expedition.
Well, you know, we're going to have to make that happen, Larry, because I don't doubt that for a minute. You and I always enjoy each other's company.
Yeah.
Lord knows why.
Yeah, I know. I think when we were sitting in Bob Gimlin's cabin there in New York, and there were several of us there.
Oh,
Tom,
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And Tom Yamarone and a bunch of
Steve
folks.
Steve Culls, and Tom and Bob, of course. And
Peter.
Who else? Oh yeah, Peter. Right. That was Peter's convention. What a guy. Peter.
You know,
he's a great guy.
He is a great guy, but I told his wife at the first one he did, and the only reason he did it is because he wanted me to come to New York and speak. And when we were talking about money-wise, he thought, well, why don't I just do a whole conference? And his wife was very helpful. And I came up, up to her the first day, and I said to her, I can't even think of her name. Anyway, not important.
I've met her once or twice, but I don't know her name offhand.
Yeah. I said, you'll learn to hate Bigfoot. She gave me the weirdest look, but yeah, absolutely. So,
well, that came true for sure. I know that for sure. She's not a huge fan.
No. I feel so bad because I got Peter interested in that, and he took it to the umpth degree. So,
well, that happens to a lot of us, Larry. You know.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it happened to me, and I've been very lucky in that most of the people that are dear to me have been very kind.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't suffer a lot of ridicule, and never have. You know, with a few of my Jersey boy buddies, I get beat up a little bit, but you know, it's all in good fun, and I'm from New Jersey, so I can handle it.
Well, yeah. And, go ahead.
No, that's right. Go ahead. Go.
Yeah. And like anybody that's ever said things like that to me, which I have to be honest, it hadn't happened very hardly at all. But I say, well, hey, you go out and do a little research on it. You come back to me and tell me what you come up with. You know, read a couple books, go online, look at a couple videos. You tell me.
That's exactly what I do, Blair. And I say, hey, you know what? I could be totally wrong, but everything I've seen, and when I start to doubt it a little bit and doubt starts to creep into my head, I see something else that convinces me even more. So, you know, it's always been that way. But I say exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Prove me wrong. Tell me
that. Right.
You know,
yeah,
sitting
well,
back and just saying, denying it and saying, well, it couldn't be possible. Don't be silly. It doesn't, nothing like that exists. Well, how do you know?
Yeah.
How do you know? What do you know?
Well, what I've always said here lately is we've had Yellowstone Park Ranger Bob Jackson on the show three or four times. And I've had him tell the Bigfoot, his Bigfoot sighting story. It hasn't changed. And most people, when they listen to that Yellowstone Ranger talk about spotting a Bigfoot and watching it stalk a deer, they for the guys that have done it for years, well, it's all over for me. I mean, that proves it pretty much right there.
Yeah.
I was right all along. So
exactly. You know,
strongest.
You and I both know, Larry, we know a lot of men and women just like that. That
yeah.
When you meet them personally, Bob Gimlin, for example. You and I've heard Bob's story and this is not an exaggeration, 50 times.
Yeah.
At least 50 times. In small groups, at conventions, and it never changes. Not the littlest bit. He doesn't make a mistake, you know. No, and he's not a young man.
No,
you know, I would forgive a misquote or here and there.
Yeah.
Never misses a beat. Never misses a beat. But there are some people that one of them is Bob, and the other one is Mr. Guinness that we just
yep.
You know, Bill Dragunas.
Absolutely.
Of course that's so sad, but he's right at the front of my mind. His story and his sighting. You know, him and I were friends, and what a wonderful man he was. Put that aside, even before I met him in person, you hear his story and the way that and the every detail that he would express, and his story has never ever changed, not even the littlest bit, and he's so detailed about everything. You can't walk away from something like that and not say to yourself that there's something to this, even if that's the only description or episode you've ever heard. You just can't.
Yeah.
And then if
no.
you meet him in person and he tells you that in person, because he's another one. Bill was is such a salt of the earth, such a straight forward and just a genuine man in every aspect of his life. You know, I'm gonna miss him, but
yes.
he's a prime example of you know, somebody that you cannot listen to and walk away and think anything other than that. That is a fact. There's no doubt.
Well,
I'd be really surprised.
He was on the show a few weeks ago. In fact, I did not tell Dr. Day because he doesn't have so much access to the computer. But William Dragunas, remember him on the show, Doc?
Yep.
Well, he passed away this week, and I was going to call you and completely forgot. But we knew,
he
was bad. Yeah. He wanted to come to Hocking Hill if he felt better.
Yeah.
But he couldn't do that because he knew it was going to be a good one. And he was right. It was a good one, absolutely.
Well, our hearts go out to his family.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's very special guy.
Real special guy. It hit me really hard. You know, we weren't best friends, but we were good friends. And I've only really known him personally for maybe 5 or 6 years, which isn't a whole lot. But again, in this in the community, you could meet somebody and become close friends very quickly, only because you have similar interests. But for the most part, I find that this community has some real genuine people.
Yeah.
And I found it very easy to make friends and good friends. And
yeah.
He was certainly one of them. And yes, just a wonderful man. But I've never heard anybody say a cross word about him. My heart goes out to his family, and he will be missed. But a lot of folks like him.
Yeah. Bill was so special to me because he had come to the National Conservation Training Center when I did my program for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and that was in 2009. And he told me that night, and I really didn't think that much about it. I thought it was just another talk, another lecture. He says, oh, no. He said, this will be one of the most important lectures for Bigfoot history. And John Green agreed with him, which I completely, didn't fathom that at all. I just figured it was me blowing off my mouth in front of more people at a higher level, I guess. But they thought it was. And he was so kind that they made an official poster, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And he just calls me one day and says, you need some of these posters? And I said, well, yeah, that'd be nice. He said, let me send you a box of them that he printed up with his own expense and own time. And that's exactly what he did. It showed up in the mail within a week, the beautiful copies of this poster that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service did for that particular lecture. So, yeah, Bill is very special to me, real special.
And that was pretty typical of Bill.
Yeah.
That was just his nature. And just a real genuine guy and full of integrity.
Yes.
I don't know many people that have as much integrity as him, or at least I think. And just a fantastic, beautiful man. Just a beautiful man. And
yeah.
Anyway,
Gene, I have to tell you, I'm a little envious. In fact, I'm a lot envious. When I found out and realized that you'd actually been to Bluff Creek.
Actually, no.
You were?
I had not. No. No. I missed my ride. I was there for the 50th, and we had all plans to go to Bluff Creek that day. And, we were right there. I missed my ride, just like I almost missed the show today. I got sidetracked by something. I think it was something stupid like breakfast. I had to eat because I had, been with friends and I had been out the night before, and I was fine, but I needed to get something in my stomach, and I went across the street and from the hotel and had breakfast and got chatting with some other folks, again, people that I had met before. And of course, I get to talking like I do. And before I knew it, everybody was gone. And so I missed out on it. And I tried to get back there a couple of times. And it was really a great one because there were some videos that I think Daniel Perez was leading the group of people out there, and gave a mini lecture while he was out there. Do you know David?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah. He showed up at my house for a few days.
Oh. Say no more.
Yeah. He was in the air.
It was a link.
Yeah.
He gave a mini lecture, so I missed that on the whole thing. So, so don't be envious because we're in the same boat. That no,
oh.
I have not, and I've come close two or three times, and that was part of the plan. But for whatever reason, one reason or another, it didn't work out. Whether it was weather or just me, falling asleep at the wheel. So,
all right.
No. Did you have that in your notes? Did you have that written down somewhere?
No.
Sorry to.
I thought I saw a picture on your Facebook page of you standing in front of the famous sign.
Oh,
and,
yes. I was. That's how close I got. But I didn't go down the go road.
And yeah, I can't lay claim to that. And so you're going to have to take that off of Wikipedia, Larry.
It has changed so much. How can they be for sure? You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, a couple of people have said that, you know, they knew exactly where the site was, and then to be proven wrong, I know Stephen Struffert of Bigfoot Books fame. He had supposedly nailed the site down, and then a couple of videos that I had seen from that trip that I was on from the 50th, and I think a couple of people are in agreement that given certain landmarks that this is indeed the site, that they've nailed it down, then they know exactly where it is. So I think they've got it right this time. It has changed a lot.
Oh yeah. I think the Willow Creek Chamber of Commerce ought to elect Bob Gimlin. I know they named a street after Bob Gimlin, but I think every business in that darn community, a motel, hotel, restaurant, gas station, liquor store, they all percentage Mr. Gimlin.
No doubt. And I think that's true of a lot of people and organizations. No doubt about it. You know, I mean, Bob's a pretty humble guy, and up until recently, I don't think he's taken advantage of. And again, I still don't think that he really is, to the extent that he could take advantage of his thing. And you know, that's always controversial. You know, making money on Bigfoot. Nobody's getting rich on Bigfoot, Larry. You and I both know that. And even the ones that are making a coin or two are not really paying the bills. With Bigfoot's not paying the bills, that's for sure.
No.
It's an expensive hobby.
It is. Yeah, you would.
You know. Yeah, getting it. You know, but you know, I'm blessed. You can do things, and I'm. Hey, Larry. You know, you travel a lot with your animals, and you've done it over the years, and you and I have talked about it. You know, there's things that you can do cheap. You can sleep in your truck or your car or your, you know, bring a tent. There's things that you can do. You can go to the other side of the earth and you can do it cheaply. You just have to plan better. And having friends, and I have a lot of them, and I really can count so many people friends. I'm so blessed in that there's so many folks that would have me on their sofa or let me sleep on their floor for at least a day or two until they really get to know me. And, but I can squeeze at least a couple days out of them. And all I really have to do is get there. And I get creative with that as well. I fly standby. I do what I need to do to get there. And I love to drive. That's one of my favorite things. I love road trips. So, but I enjoy it. And really, the research aside, and I don't really consider myself a researcher. I'm an enthusiast and a friend maker, and I love being with people. I absolutely love being with people, even the bad ones.
Well, it is. I tell you, it's been. I've been involved with it for close to 50 years, and I still, one of my greatest blessings is when I was able to get John Green and Bob Gimlin together, the only time they did get together, and have them on this show. And that was pretty special, I'll have to tell you. And I think it was right after that Bob started doing more things.
So that was 2009?
I'm not sure what year that was, Gene, but I'll be more than happy to send the link to that show because it's.
I would be surprised if I didn't hear it. I had listened to your show. I've been listening to your show for as long as I can remember.
Oh, okay.
And
And but I don't know. But I don't remember that. But I don't remember a lot of things. You know,
yeah.
My one disappointment has never I never met John Green, and that I would have loved to have met John Green and to sit and talk with him for, even if it was just 15 or 20 minutes, just a mesmerizing guy. And yeah, you know, another guy.
He was a good friend of mine, and I had a chance. I know you've heard through my talks. I had a chance to talk to him extensively the few days he was in Cleveland, Ohio. And he's so kind. He gave me cassette tapes of various interviews he'd done. Roger Patterson, the guy from Abe Canyon, Fred Beck. He had all Albert Ostman. He had that on tape as well. He just gave me copies of them. I couldn't believe it. It was just phenomenal. Just such a nice fella. Gosh.
Yeah, he really was a great guy. And I have some very close friends that were very close with him. And, hey, you know that vest I have that I have folks sign? You know that vest I'm talking about? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was going to send it off to John through a friend. And, again, I don't like mentioning names on the line unless somebody knows, so I'm not going to mention any names. But a very dear friend of mine who would visit towards the end of John's life, visited him pretty frequently. I was going to ship the vest to him, and he was going to take it to John and have John sign it. And but there was one problem. And, again, I'm not going to mention the name, but we can surmise. I had someone that was one of John's peers from the old days sign it.
Oh, yeah.
And John wouldn't sign it for that reason. And that was the first thing he said. And somehow he knew my name, and it was probably through, you know, a mutual friend. He said, sure, Gene Roma, I would be glad to sign it for you, under one circumstance, that this person not sign it. And he had already signed it. So I had to, in good faith, well, I had to do one or two things. Erase that signature, which I don't think would have worked, because I'm not a good liar, Larry. I can't carry that water. So I would have had to tell him that, even though I covered it up with a marker, that he indeed signed it. He was pretty strong about it. He was not going to sign it under any circumstances if this person signed it, which was heartbreaking. But it is what it is. Kind of funny.
Yeah, it is kind of funny. Well, next time I'm at a conference and I have my material with me, I'll show you a letter that I received from that particular person who lives up in Canada. He slept in a hole as a child. And, yeah.
Okay,
so,
we'll do that.
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about. Dr. Day, what a great show.
Yep, you told me to be prepared. It was a great show.
Really?
Gene?
You know, well, I'm glad you think so. You know, Larry, you know I love you. And, you know, I would do this any day of the week, on or off air, but you know that. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, everyone knows Gene Roma from the conferences. And, you know, I was thinking yesterday, I said some of the most interesting people that I've met have been on these Bigfoot conferences and some of my friends on Facebook. And last week, Dr. Day will testify to this. We had a somewhat well-known author on the show that had just finished a book. And it was, what were your words, Dr. Day?
Let's see. creature from another planet.
No. You said that I had to work awfully hard.
Oh, right. Yeah. You had to work awfully. Yeah, you did.
Yeah, a lot of yes and no answers. So it was.
Sure.
Gene,
yeah.
You and your family have a wonderful, wonderful holiday. It's such a great to have you on the show. We're going to have to do this again.
Well, there's always plenty to talk about, Larry. And sure. You sound fantastic.
Well,
and Dr. Day, it was nice meeting you.
Nice meeting
and,
you.
I hope you all have a wonderful holiday. And
we wish your mother, Alice, a happy birthday.
Oh, she's a wonderful person. I talk to my mother every day. And if I could give anybody any advice, if your mother is still here, talk to her every day. She'll appreciate
well,
it.
Amen.
I'm going to take that advice. I don't do that. That's wrong. So you're absolutely right. Well,
I'm
great show,
no man,
buddy. Thank you around the world. You've been listening to Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everybody.
Thank you, Jim.
I just got back, from my tour in England. Yeah. Everybody's talking about the rock and quave over in England. Yeah. Come on over, baby. Oh, I want to shake it on.
You're listening to my friend Larry Batson's Wild, Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.